we're going to learn Daf Samach Zayin and Masechtas Ksubos. We're going to start from the fifth line of the. From the top. What's going on over here is the Gemara was talking about what you write in a dowry, and then the Gemara went off onto the story with the daughter. Nachtim ben Gurion, right, the daughter of Nachtim ben Gurion. Nachtim ben Gurion was a very, very wealthy guy. The Gemara tells a story about how large her ksuba was. Okay, but then at the end of the day, the Gemara tells a story, which is what we're following off of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was writing, and then he sees, this is right before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and then he sees that he says the daughter of Nachtim ben Gurion, this one who got this $1 million ksuba, that all of a sudden she's collecting food from the feces of the animals. So what happened? The Gemara says, how did he lose all his money? So the Gemara on the top of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph says that even though he gave tzedakah, he didn't give it properly. Either the Gemara says very interesting teretz that he gave away what he gave because it was his covet, for his covet, instead of doing it al tzedakah, or the Gemara says he just didn't do what he was for what he was supposed to do. It wasn't enough. Therefore, at the end of the day, he didn't give tzedakah, and he lost his money. Okay, so on that note, again, because of the story, the Gemara now is going to continue. As we said, we're going to start from the fifth line from the top. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik says, Erev Nechama, I should see the Nechama of Yerushalayim, the destruction of Yerushalayim, Imloi Re'isiya, Shehoisim Laketa Sa'irin, Miben Tlafe Susim, Ba'aku. If I didn't see that she was gathering kernels of barley from the hooves of the horses in Aku. Okay? In other words, he's saying, if I saw this, I should be zoichet to see the nechama of the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Okay. And the Gemara says, Karasi Oleha Mikrazeh. And I said about this situation, when I saw the situation, I saw the following pasuk. Im loy seidi loch, if it's not known to you, Hayofa Benoshim, the special of the women, Tzi'i loch be'ikve atzoin, go and follow the heels of the sheep, Veroi eskedu yaseich, and graze your sheep. Graze your sheep. Now, what that is the literal translation of the pasuk. The pasuk is really referring to the fact that if you're not going to pay attention to what is the proper derech to keep the Torah, what's going to end up is that you're going to be following the hooves of the sheep. Not even going to be with the sheep themselves. You're going to be at the hooves of the sheep. So al tigrei gedi yosecha. But the Gemara darshens, we're not talking about the sheep. Ela gavi yosecha. We're talking about your bodies. So what does that have to do with our situation? Over here was you had a situation where you had somebody who was wealthy and he didn't do what he was supposed to do. So instead, they ended up going literally to the hooves of the animals, not even the sheep themselves, to the hooves of the animal and the feces of the animals. That's what ended up being the situation. So if you don't, again, the point of the Gemara, whether we're talking about the literal translation or we're talking about the drasha over here, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, so it ends up going in a very negative, very detrimental situation. Okay, that's the drasha. Fine. Now the Gemara continues going back to what our Mishnah said. In our Mishnah, we discussed the fact that when a father contributes to the dowry of a daughter, when you value it at a higher number. We exaggerate the number so that it looks good for what the numbers are. But what that means in English is that if it ever comes to paying out, you're going to pay out a little bit less than what the number is, because we know that the number on paper is an exaggerated number. So now we have to talk about what is, again, the Mishnah is sort of somewhat clear on what we're talking about, but there's always the in between. So on that, the Gemara continues and says like this: Amar of Shem bar Abba, Amar of Yochanan. So in the name of Yochanan, we say Echnisaloi Zohav. If what the item that they brought into the marriage was gold, and we're going to talk about what exactly this gold piece is, Shamin Oisoi, we do the evaluation of what that gold is worth. Varehi Kishav Yov. and we give it that value. So in other words, notwithstanding what we just said in the Mishnah, that you would normally exaggerate the value so that we would add a little bit, and therefore, if it came to paying out, we'd pay out a little bit less than what it actually says. When it comes to gold, gold has an intrinsic value, and therefore we use that value itself. Okay, so that seems like a pretty simple statement. However, Meisvei, we have a contradiction. Hazav Hareu Kekelim. It says that gold is no different than any other kelim. So when we're talking about kelim is what we discussed in our Mishnah, that you have to give a different type of number. You have to either add on or retract, depending on who's doing the contributions. So over here also, but here it seems to say, if we compare it to regular kelim, it should be treated as regular kelim, and we don't look at the gold as if it's intrinsic value. My lavka kelim shel kesef depachsi. So it must be that we're talking about kelim made of silver, which do lose value over time, and if since they lose value over time, even if you're spending it or whatever, so in other words, over here we would use a lesser number than, so even for, just like by silver, we would use a lesser number because they go down in value, so to the gold also should be given a different value. So the Gemara says, "Loi kekelim shel zahav deloi pachsi." So yes, it's true. We said we compare it to kelim, but the question is, what type of kelim? So the Gemara is saying that there's a difference between gold kelim, which keep and retain their value, versus silver kelim, which don't keep and retain their value, and therefore, by silver, we have to reduce the price. Whereas by gold, we don't necessarily have to. So it doesn't have to be a contradiction. So the Gemara says, "Im kein kekelov mi bayile." If so, now this is a tricky line in the Gemara. If so, that we're talking about that the kelim of gold are different, so then we don't refer to them as just regular kelim. Now, it's the wording of the Mishnah that's throwing us off. Because if we were talking about, and you have to add a little bit of a hesber to what the Gemara over here is asking. If so, that we're talking about that it's gold, and therefore it has it's treated differently than everything else, then it shouldn't just categorize it as we're treating it as kelim, regular kelim. Because we know what the din is by regular kelim. And we have to say, kekelov, this is his kelim, which don't get used, which don't get devalued, and so on and so forth. And then we know that we could use exactly that value. That's what the Gemara seems to be asking over here, that if that was the point, if really we were trying to say something similar, which is that gold is a separate category, then we should have referred to it in a separate, unique way as well. That's one question. Va'oid. So therefore, based on the question, the Gemara is saying that really gold should not be treated differently. Va'oid. And also, Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Zav Hareu Kekelim. So we say, first of all, you have to read the Braisa, the whole thing. You can't look at it in a vacuum. When you're dealing with first of all, the statement is the same, that gold is the same as Kelim. Okay, so there's a din of gold Kelim. And then it says very clearly, din rei zohav, harei hein keksofim. And when we're talking about coins, gold coins, they become like silver, like any other money, which gets used. And if they get used, then we have to use a reduction of price. So we see very clearly, not like we originally said, which is that the gold is its own standard, and we value the gold at exactly that price, and we don't touch it. So again, we have another brisa which seems to say that even gold fits into what the Mishnah says, that if you're using it as money, you do a depreciated value. If you're using it as a keli, then you have to exaggerate. So, but here we see that's the rule by regular gold as well. Let's just finish the brisa. He says that if you're using, we're going to have to translate what Rav Shimon Gamliel is referring to. But he says you're in a place which doesn't use gold coins as money, then you use their exact value. Meaning, if it's gold and it's just gonna sit on the side, then there's no reason why it should be valued at anything else other than gold itself. But if you're using it, okay, well, if you're using it, then it has a different rule. Let's just take what Rav Shimon Gamliel says, what he says, and not try to take it any further. So therefore, because the Gemara itself is gonna ask Rav Shimon Gamliel, ahai. When Rav Shimon Gamliel made this statement, again, his statement was, if you're not using the gold, it's just sitting there, then it has regular value.
You can't exchange them.
You can't change their value.
Exchange them.
If you don't exchange them. Right. Shaloi parton, you don't exchange them means you're not using them. You're not using them for money. You're not using them for value. You just let it sit for what it is. Meaning you could have a gold coin. You could have a gold coin. So a gold coin would be exchanged. It would be used as part of commerce. Versus gold that's not used as part of commerce. Gold that just sits on the side. So that's where Rav Shimon Gamliel says that the only time that you would give the gold the value of its elf and not try to take into consideration other values up or down is when you're not using them as part of commerce. But let's put Rav Shimon Gamliel into context. What is Rav Shimon Gamliel referring to in the context of this brisa? Rav Shimon Gamliel, ahai. On what point of the brisa did Rav Shimon Gamliel make this statement? Ilema seifo. If we're going on the end of the mission, on the end of the brisa, the end of the brisa says that if you use them, they're like regular coins. So, and Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying, well, if I don't use them, they're not like regular coins. So that means, michlal, the Tanakama sover, so that means if Rav Shimon Gamliel is commenting on the line right before that, that means he's arguing, and the Tanakama holds, afilu b'mokum shenogul shaloi l'farton, that even when you don't use them, you're still going to devalue them. So the Gemara says, aloi nafki. Why would that be true? Why would the Tanakama say that we have to devalue them as if they're used in commerce and they're being exchanged back and forth if we're talking about the same thing that Rav Shimon Gamliel is talking about, that we're not using them back and forth? Why would the Tanakama argue on that statement? There's no reason, there's no reason to make a machlokes between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakama on that point. So it can't be going on that last statement, which was that referring to using them as regular money. Elalava Reisha. So we must be going back on the case of the Reisha, which is just a case where it's a Keli, where it was never meant to be a coin in the first place. So now it's a Keli, and the question is whether we exaggerate the value or not. V'alchika Omar. So what we would say is like this. Zahav Harehu Kekelim. So first, the Tanakama Shita is that it is like regular Kalim, my Kalim, and what would the Tanakama be referring to? Tanakama was Kalim Shel Kesef. We would say that they're no different than silver vessels, silver Kalim. And if they're silver Kalim, as we said before, then they have to be, you have to add on the numbers. And on that, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Oimer, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Harehu Kedinarim Shel Zahav, they're no. Even kalim of gold are like coins of gold. If they're in a place where they're not used on a regular basis, they're not being exchanged. So it comes out that the Tanakama Shita is that they get that if he's arguing with Rav Shimon Gamliel, and he's saying that no, that in the general rule is that even gold is treated like silver. It's not a special category. It does get treated where we have to add on an extra fifth. It comes out that everybody really is saying the same thing almost, that if you're using it as a keli, you have to exaggerate. If you're using it as money, you have to depreciate it. So it's not like what we originally, again, this is going back on Reb Shemin's Bar Abba's original statement, which was that gold just gets treated like gold and nothing else, and it's its own category. So it seems different than what Reb Shemin said. This brisa would end up, if we're interpreting the brisa to make this into the machlokes Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakama, it comes out not like Reb Shemin. About whether or not, again, whether or not gold is just treated as gold and separate. So the Gemara says, let's go back to what we originally thought, which is Rav Shimon Gamliel is talking about the Seifa, about whether or not the gold is exchanged as money or not. And the case is that we have gold coins, which people don't use on a regular basis, but they do use when they need to use. So, at the end of the day, they can and do get exchanged when they need to be. They don't get exchanged necessarily on a regular basis, but they do get used once in a while. So now the question is, when you're dealing with something that it's in a once in a while, so how do we look at that? And this becomes the machlekes, the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Mar sover kiven denafki mishabchinon lei. The one shita, the Tanakama shita, is that since we do use them sometimes, they can be used, so therefore we have to do the exaggeration like everything else, because they do get used. Umar Sover, on the other sheet is Kivan Deloy Nafki, this is Reb Shimon Gamliel, Elay Yedei Etchak, since they only use when they necessary, but not on a regular basis, Loi Mishabchinon Lei, so then we don't have to add on anything, because, okay, maybe it will happen that they get used, but since we're assuming that on a regular basis they're not used, so Mamela, there's no reason to exaggerate the number. But again, if we all have the same rule, then it's not going to be a problem. As long as we know that what's written in the Ksuba, if we know the number in the Ksuba is real, then we'll treat it as real. If we know the number in the Ksuba is not real, is exaggerated, then we'll treat it that way. But we have to know what the rule is. And the machlokes is whether or not, you know, whether people see this as, when people see the gold, whether they see this as something that part of the rule of being used, or they see it as part of the rule of something not being used. So that's the machlokes, how people see it when they read in the Ksuba, oh, he donated gold. How do people see this? That's one teretz of the Gemara. So we basically say, it's a machlokes, whether, because it could go either way, which category do we put it in? Do we put it in the category of money, or do we put it in the category of something that sits on the shelf? That's one teretz. Iba
Yisema. They're not kelim at all?
No, one second, no. They are kelim. They're kelim that get used. They're kelim that get used, and therefore they go down in value. Iba Yisema, another way to look at this is Kula Reb Shimon Gamliel Hi, V'chsurim Echsura, V'hachik Tani. Really, the whole Mishnah, the whole Braisa, is all Reb Shimon Gamliel talking from the beginning to the end. So it's not a machloikis, as we just said, a machloikis between the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon Gamliel, whether or not this is considered a coin or not, because I could view it one way or another, so it's a machloikis. So what should we do at the end of the day? No, it's all Reb Shimon Gamliel, and the way to read it is as follows. Zahav Hareo Kekeleim. If it's real, just regular gold, it's like any other keli that gets used, and therefore gets exaggerated. Din reizav, harein kiksafu. And if they're money, even if it happens to be made out of gold, at the end of the day, it's money. So if it's money, it gets depreciated. That's talking about where we use the money, where we actually use it, and therefore we treat it like regular money. But if it's a gold, even if it happens to be in the shape of a coin, but it is not used, then that's when we use, where we do the value, and they become that value. So it could be, so in other words, all of this, all of this is Reb Shimon Gamliel saying that even gold itself depends, can have three categories. Gold can be like a keli, that's easy, and we do the same thing as regular kelim. Or it could be like money, that's also easy, that we do like regular money. Or it could be the shape of money, but not used like money. So therefore, this is the new category that we say that therefore it's just gold. And just gold, and we keep it exactly at the price. Why? Reb Shimon Gamliel, now continuing in the Gemara, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, because this was the rule that Reb Shimon Gamliel told us, b'makom shenagu shaloi l'farton, if we're talking about, even if it's in the shape of coins, but we don't use it in commerce, shaman ha'isam b'hareim b'shavion, so then we evaluate them, and we put that value on the ksuba. Again, so it has to be in the shape of a coin, but not used as a coin. Okay, fine. That's very nice. So we have a good way of explaining the Braisa. But now we're back to a technical question, because remember, we started off, before we brought the Braisa, we started off with a different question. We call Malkum Kekelev Miboyele. But, so then what do we do? The fact that we refer to it as Kelim instead of Kelev. Remember, if we're talking about gold, we don't just refer to it as regular Kelim. So the Gemara says, Kash, I hear, that is a good question. If that question, you know, that question still remains, why did the Braisa refer to gold as just a regular Keli? It's not a regular Keli, it really is something unique about it, and it should have said Kelev. Okay, that remains an open question. But at least this way, and the Gemara is going to stay with that. But at least this way, we don't have a contradiction in the Braisa. Iba Yisema, in a third teretz is Hachav Mayaskinon Bedava Pricha. That we're talking about little pieces of what?
Chips.
Little chips of gold. So little chips of gold. So then that's where you. So now it could be back a machlekas Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakhama. And we're talking about little chips of gold. Again, we have the same issue over here, whether or not we look at this as it's not a keli, it's also not a coin. So then you have the machlokes, the Tanakhama says that it is, we'll treat it like a coin, and Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no, if we're not going to really use it, then we don't have to treat it like a coin. Okay, so again, but then that means that this whole braisa is discussing a very specific, unique type of case. So it's a unique type of case, but it's important for us to know because it could come up. That unique cases is going to get in a unique category. And finally, the Gemara says, Ravashi Amar B'Malit. Ravashi says, yeah, that was, again, similar type of teretz, that we're talking about thin pieces of coin, thin pieces of gold, rather. And since it's, again, a thin piece of gold, that's why, meaning Ravashi is explaining what Rav Shimon Bar Abba is talking about. Rav Shimon Bar Abba is talking about these thin pieces of gold. They're not being used on a regular basis. So therefore, whenever we're talking about little chips of gold are going to get their value. Again, Ravashi, in his own way, is also saying that this gold gets treated a little bit differently because it's a unique situation. It's little chips of gold. Now you have to understand the reason why. So you could say, well, what about little chips of this and little chips of that, and so on and so forth. Now that you have to understand that as a general rule, gold is considered the standard. Gold is considered value, and everything else is compared to the value of gold. In other words, you need something. You need something stable. You need something that is a constant, and everything else is relative to that constant. Is the gold standard, exactly. So that's why, so if you understand that that's true, that gold does in and of itself, everything else is relative to the value of gold. Right? So even when we say that the price of gold went up, it's not pshat that the price of gold really went up. What we're really saying is that the price of money went down. And that's why you have to spend more money to get that same gold. It's saying that the dollar went down. So that's once you understand that, so when you have little pieces of gold, it's okay to say that those little pieces of gold, they're going to retain their value. Again, it might cost me in 10 or 20 years from now, it might cost me a little different of a dollar amount, but that's not because the gold went down in value. The gold retains its value. It's everything else that is circulating around that and changing. So Mamela, when we're talking about little pieces of gold, it's possible that Rav Shimon said, for purposes of the Ksuba, we could say that this is the value that we gave the gold, and we understand that that's the value, and that's the value that we're going to use. Let me correct what I said wrong. I said that Ravashi is referring to what Rav Shimon was referring to. It's actually just the opposite. Ravashi was explaining the Braisa. So Ravashi was, this will make more sense. Ravashi is explaining the Braisa. Ravashi is saying that the Braisa is referring to these little chips or dust of gold or whatever it is. So because it's these little pieces of gold, that does change value. And that's what Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is referring to. And he says, even though we don't use them, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, okay, if we don't use them, then we don't change value. But the Tanakhama Shita, which is what we're more focused on, says they're kekelim, because since they're little dust and they could get, you know, they're not gonna last, so they do change value. Rav Shimon, on the other hand, is referring to the gold where it's a nice piece of gold, and that piece of gold, and Enochanami, is going to retain its value. So, a little bit of the opposite of what I just said before. So, Rav Ashi is explaining the Braisa, and is explaining the Tanakhama Shita, the Braisa, why we would consider it Kalim. But therefore, again, because the Braisa is talking about a very specific case, Rav Shimon is talking about the, so to speak, the regular case. Again, relatively speaking, is talking about the regular case. Regular case that we're talking about, a real chunk of piece of gold. So a real chunk of piece of gold, that's going to retain its value, and that's why in the Ksuba we're going to put down the actual value. Okay. We'll finish up on this point of the Gemara, and then the next part of the daf will be a little bit easier, I think. Amar Rav Yanai, Besomim shal antochio harehen kiksofen. So the spices in Antuchia, that was their main item of commerce. That was their exchange. So therefore, it gets treated like money, even though obviously it's not money, but that's what they used to use, that's what they used to barter with. So it gets that category. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yochanan, Gmalim shel Aravya, the Arabian camels, Isha Goiva Parna Mehem, a woman is able to use so she's able to collect from them as when she collects her ksuba. Now, because it's a value, so we're going to have to value it, and it's going to be more or less because it's a keli, because it's an item, but it's still a woman is going to be able to collect from him ultimately if she needs to collect from her ksuba. Amar Papi, Hani Toisve Debe Machsi. The special garments that they used to have from the city of Machsi. Again, Isha Goiva Parna Mehem, a woman is going to be able to use that to collect from her ksuba. Again, these are things that they're reliable. In that neighborhood, in that area, these are things that were very standard, were very common, so they weren't, and they're valuable. Their value, and they hold their value. So therefore, you could use them to collect like from a ksuba. In other words, what we're trying to say is,
it's 40 years from now, it will hold its value.
It will hold its value because that's what the Gemara is saying. In those places, this was such a common thing, and it was a standard. It was a standard. So yes, of course, the world changes, but in that city at that time, that was considered almost the same thing as a piece of land. You know, not everything. It would be, I guess, lahavdil nowadays, somebody saying you have a stock. Now, stock is really not a good example because a stock changes, fluctuates in value all the time. But it's like a thing. It's like a standard that people use. Maybe that wasn't a stock is not a good example. The point is, but it's something that in those days, in that place, in that area, had a special value. Amar Rav Papi, Hani Saki de Rudyo, the sacks, cloth, and in the city of Rudyo, that's how we'll translate it. Va'ashli de Chunyo, and the ropes of the city of Chunyo. Isha Goiva Parna Mehem, again, same thing, a woman, those, again, they were special value, maybe this is where they manufactured them, so in that city, that was like the big thing. Omer Rav, Meresh Havamina, Hani Arniki de Mechuza, Isha Goiva Parna Mehem. So originally I thought that if a husband sets aside a sack full of, a pocketbook full of money, that could also be used to pay a ksuba because a woman could rely on that as a payment for a ksuba. In other words, just like when a guy gets married and says, I'm designating this piece of land and this is where you'll collect your ksuba, a woman would say, yeah, sure, okay, I'll take this land is good collateral. So too, a pocketbook of money also was good collateral. It's my time, as the Gemara says, as machtayu alayu. They rely on that. Okay, that's what I originally thought. That a woman would be comfortable relying on that. However, since I saw that what happens is they take this money and they go out, and then when they find another piece of land, they go ahead and use that money to buy the land. So then, I realized, what they're doing is they're relying on land. They're not really relying on the money. What they're doing is they're taking the money and then putting it back into the investment in land. So once again, you're back to the real McCoy, the real source of what we're really relying on. So if that's what we're really relying on, then we shouldn't be using the money as the thing that we're relying on. So at the end of the day, you cannot use a pocketbook of money to be what we're going to say she's comfortable taking as collateral for the ksuba. Because it's not the money that she's really after. It's what she's really relying is on the land. But she was willing to take the money so that she could buy the land. So instead of just her taking the money to buy the land, you buy the land, and that's what she's really going to rely on. So the next Mishnah. Hamasi es bitoy stam. He marries off his daughter, and they don't discuss what the father is going to bring in, is going to give as the dowry for the marriage. He has to give a minimum of 50 zuz. That's the minimum contribution that a father has to give. Now, pasuk lahachniso aruma. Let's say the father says, I know what the standard is, but I'm telling you up front that I am not giving anything. So you want my daughter? Great. But I'm telling you up front, I'm not giving anything. So the husband can't say, well, if the father's giving nothing, so fine, I get it. when we get married, the father's not getting anything, and then I'll take over. That's my deal. No, he can't say that. Ella mechasa va'oyde b'beis avio. Once the father says, I'm not around, I'm not giving anything, then the husband has to immediately, even before they get married, has to already start supporting her. The chain, so now that we've established what the basics are. So again, so even though there is a basic, you could pre-negotiate and say, I'm not doing it. If you agree, you agree. I mean, again, the husband doesn't have to get married if he doesn't want to. He doesn't have to agree to that. But once he agreed that this is the situation that he's in, then that's how we're going to treat it. But once we did create a standard, so the same thing would be true now if Bezdin is, or the Gabbai Tzedakah is marrying off a Yisoyma, she's entitled to get this also 50 zuz when they get married. Im yesh bekis, but if there's more money in the bucket for the Gabbai, mefarnes and I saw the fichvoido, then we try to give her what she really deserves. But there is a minimum that everybody's entitled to. And then, but if there's more, then great, we try to give her more. That's the Mishnah. Omar Abaye. So Abaye says, Chamishim zuz pshiti. When we say the 50 zuz, or $50, if you want to say that, we're talking about the pshiti, the simple money, which Rashi says is worth about an eighth of the, because there's two coins that have the same value. The two coins in different currencies that had very different values. So there's one zuz that's a gold coin, which is very expensive, and then you have the other zuz, which is also called a zuz, but it's really much cheaper. So the Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that the Mishnah, when it's creating a standard, is using the lower value? Midatani Sefer, because it says at the end, Im Yesh Bekis, if there's more money, Mefarnes and I saw Lefi Chvayda, then we're going to give her more. Va'amrina my kiss. And the Gemara itself explains what do we mean by kiss this money in the pocket? Amarachava arniki shel tzedakah. That the tzedakah at the moment has a collection, has more money in the pocket. Fine, good. Now if we're talking about that, there's 50 real gold coins by the Gabbai Tzedakah, im yesh bekis, so you're saying if there's more than that, kama yavinu lo, how much exactly are you going to get? 50 zuz is a lot of money already, so why are we stam, especially from Tzedakah, just giving more just because we have it? So it must be that we're talking about the smaller amount, it's the lower number, since it's the lower number, so now we understand, okay, since the lower number, that's a very minimum amount. If there's more, great, we should give more. Tana Rabbanan. Yosem Yisayim Shabbat L'Esparnes. If both Nebuch, an orphan and an orphan girl need to be supported, Mefarnes and Nesi Yisayim. The first priority is to take care of the girl. V'yachgach Mefarnes and Nesi Yosem, and then afterwards we take care of the boy. Why? Mipnei Sha'ish Darke Lachzor Alav Sochim Ve'ena Isha Darke Lachzor. It's because it's more normal the boy can take care of himself, and that's more normal in society for him to take care of it than for her to take care of it. So she's more stuck. So if we don't take care of her, no one's going to be able to take care of her. Similarly, the Gemara says, Yosem v'yusaymo, now turn the page, on the top of Amadeus, Shaboli Nosei, that are getting married, and we only have enough money to handle getting one of them married off at a time. Mesiyin as the yusaymo, v'yachagach mesiyin as the yosem. We first make sure to take care that the yusaymo can get married, and then we take care of the yosem. Mepnei, Shaboishto shal isha meruba mishal ish, because it's harder for her to stay alone and not be married than it is for the guy to be alone and not married. So that's the rule. So the rule is that we have to take care of the girl first. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Yosem sheba lisa seichen loy bias. If a yosem, so now we're talking about from the man, the groom's perspective. When we come to marry him off, what should we be giving towards him? We give him a house to take care of him, matzian loy mito, and we give him a bed that they'll be able to sleep on. The kol kli tashmisha, and the things that the household items that he's going to need. The achakach matzian loy isha, and then once he has everything that he needs, then it's time he can get married. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, daimach soiroi asher yichad. So if he's missing something, that is, you try to fill what he's missing. So we darshan like this: the thing that he's missing most is the house. Ashayachzer. So what else is he missing? Zamita is the bed to sleep in the house. For shulchan. the bed and the table. Loi, and so what is the pasuk loi over here? Zu isha, that is referring to, even though it says the word loi to him, what is he missing? He's missing a wife. So, but we see in the order of the pasuk, the order of the pasuk is the house, the bed, and then the wife. The chenu oimer, es loi, loi, ezer kenegde. We're gonna make for him. Something to fill him. So again, even though it says the word loy, we're referring to him. What is he missing? He's missing a wife. So it's funny. It's even though it says in the pasuk loy, which is referring to him, but what we're really referring to is what is his need, and his need is the wife. Okay, so that's the order. Tana Rabbana. We learned also de machsoiroi. If you fill what he's missing, atamitzuva alov lefar nasoi, that you are commanded to give him what he needs. You have to give him what he needs, but not all of a sudden to give him what he wants and just to make him rich. We got it. You do, but you just have to fill in the gaps. You have to give him what he needs. So what is, even those things, so now what does the pasuk mean? That he is missing, that he is missing. So now the Gemara takes it one step further. It says, afilu sus lirchoi v'alov, ve'eved larutz lefanov. Even if we're talking about that he needs a horse to ride on and somebody to lead the horse, which is like a fancy thing. Now we're talking, so, but that's if that's what was missing to him. Meaning if he is used to that standard. Now this is a very tricky Gemara, and in the sense that it's hard hashkafically to use it. So if he is, so we need to fill what he's missing. But what's the definition of what he's missing? Right? So what's the definition of what he's missing? So what he's missing is, if this is things that he's used to, it could even be things that are fancy. But if that's what, where he's coming from his perspective, he's missing. Now, again, the Gemara did say, you have no right to make him rich. So that's also true. You don't have to give him more than what, if there's a real need. So this is where, again, it gets, like we discussed earlier today, where there's this gray area of what's considered what he needs and what versus what he wants. But if there are things that he needs, and this is not a crazy standard, so then Anachanami, you do give it to him, even though it's above the standard of what, let's say, other people have. And they say, Amru Allah al Hilul Azokin. So they said about Hilul Azokin, Shalakach La'ani ben Toivin, that he bought, that he took for a poor person who used to be wealthy. He bought him a horse and a slave to take care of the horse. Okay, again, Ben Toivim, he was somebody who used to have this standard. And in fact, one time there was a situation where there was no slave to take care of the horse. So Hillel HaZaken himself went ahead and took care of it. So we see that it's a real thing. It wasn't just a mishigas. So if this is his basic standard, so now the question is, again, this is where it gets, in practice, it gets a little tricky. So what are those things that are considered his needs versus those things that, if this is missing for him, I'm not talking about what he wants. You know, everybody would like to live in the lap of luxury. But these are things that, for him, it's considered missing, so then Anachanami, that's the standard that we have to bend to. Everybody
needs a house.
Galil, there was a story in Galil. Shalachula oni ben toivim echad mitzipori. They bought for this person who used to be wealthy litra baser bechol yom. They bought him a measure of meat every yom. So the Gemara says litra baser my rabusa. What's the big deal? Everybody, you know, somebody, they have to eat meat. He has to eat something. A measurement. So the Gemara first thinks that was just a measurement. So Amar Rav Huna litra baser mishal oifos. So one answer is that what the chiddush was, that they used to buy chicken meat, bird meat, which was more expensive. The point is that's what he was used to, so that's what they got for him. The boys aim of a litra baser mamish. No, again, they would buy, it wasn't just the measurement, they were actually buying the meat itself, which was more expensive. Ravashi Amar Hasam Kfar Kotan Hayu. Over there happened to be the situation, the chiddush of the story was, it was a small little town. B'chol yoyma have a mafsidi chiyusa am tuluse. Over there, they were actually shechting, he needed meat, because that was the standard he was used to. So they would shecht an animal every day. Remember, they didn't have refrigeration, so if you wanted to have a piece of meat, you had to get it from someplace that didn't last. So every day they were shechting an animal, which was way more than the city itself was able to handle. The city itself wasn't big enough to sell off the rest of the meat, and even so, that's what they used to do for this person, because he needed it. Ahuda also the comment of Rav Nechemya. There was a person that came to Rav Nechemya, Amalei, and he asked Rav Nechemya, what are you eating? Obviously, So he said, what do I need? I need meat, I need good meat and good wine. So Rav Nachemya said, so, okay, fine, I see you need food, but could you handle eating beans and lentils with meat? So the person said, okay, if this is all you can offer, I'll take the beans. And that was, you know, he wasn't able to handle it and he died. Amar, so Rav Nechemya said, "Oy loy lezeh shehargoy Nechemya." Says, "Woe is to this person that Nechemya killed him because I didn't give him what he needed." So the Gemara says, "Adarabba, oy loy lenechemya shehargoy oy loy lezeh shehargoy Nechemya." The first way they read it was, "This person killed Nechemya," meaning he killed Rav Nechemya "Adarabba, oy loy lenechemya shehargoy lezemi boylei." So what it means is, no, just the opposite. The Oni was the one who died, not Rav Nechemya. So it should be, what we should have said is that woe is to Rav Nechemya that killed this person who didn't give him what he expected. So the Gemara says, no, over there, Ela Ihu, who, Delayi Boilei Lenefuke Nafshe Kulehai. So here, for the first time, the Gemara takes the other position, which is that this person, this Oni, should not have put himself into a situation where he needed only meat and could only survive on meat. So since, if he could only survive on meat, so then on Hanani, he was now in this position where the lentils weren't good enough for him. But where it's not Rav Nechemya's fault that this guy put himself into a standard that was not sustainable. So therefore, it wasn't Rav Nechemya's fault. The Gemara continues, Ahud also the Kameh de Rava. Somebody came to Rava, Amalei b'me'at tosoyed, he asked him, what do you eat? Amalei b'tarnagoylus p'tumo v'yashin yashin, says, I eat fattened birds and good wine. Amalei v'loi chiyashta l'duchko de tzibura, you weren't worried about the fact that this is going to cost the tzibur a lot of money to support you. Amalei, so his response was, I'm not asking for, I'm not, the money's not coming from you, it's coming from Hashem. The Tanina we learned in the Braisa, Eine kol elecha yisabeiru. So Hashem is going to feed those who need. And you're going to give food to him in his time. So be'itam loy nemer, it doesn't say in general that everybody's going to get what they need. Ela be'itoy, specifically for him. That everybody is going to get the parnasa in his time, what he needs. Okay, so we see that what he was saying is, it's not coming off your cheshbon. This is what Hashem is going to take care of me. So so therefore I have a right to ask for what I need because it's not really off your cheshbon. It's my cheshbon. However, adahachi asya achte derava. While they were discussing, Rava's sister showed up. It had been 13 years since he had seen her. So she came to visit and she brought with her this nice fat chicken and good wine. Omar, my dekama, what is this all of a sudden that this happened to me? Amalei, so we see that it was really minashamayim. Amalei, nanei kumachol. So you were answered, you can come and eat. So Rava saw that as a sign minashamayim that that's what this guy really deserved, that's what this guy needed. So if that's what it needed, so minashamayim, it happened to him that he had exactly what he needed. So he saw exactly what this guy was saying, that this is, it's not your cheshbon. So this, because he, again, this guy obviously was in a position where he really needed these things, and it worked out that this is what he was able to, it worked out. We see that it came from a source with exactly what he needed. Tana Rabban. So let's say you have a person who Nebuch doesn't have any money, but he also doesn't want to take money from the tzibur. He has his pride he doesn't want to take. So what do? So what we do is we say, okay, we're not giving you a tzedakah, we're going to give you a loan. So Rav Meir says, what you do is, and then you say, you know what, here, I'm going to give it to you as a loan, and then you forgive the loan, so then he ends up getting it. What you say is, no, I'm giving it to you as a present. And then you turn around and you say, "Don't." And then you give it to him, and then you say, "Oh, fine, no problem. If you want, you can make it into halva." But the Gemara says, "L'shum matana lo yishakum." I don't understand how that helps. If you tell him that he's giving it as a matana, if you say, "I'm giving it to you," the guy's not going to take it. So how did you get what you do? How did you accomplish what you're trying to accomplish, which is to give him something? Amarava liftoyach loy l'shum matana. So he says, what you do is you still first ask him, say, I'd like to give you something. and the guy's going to reject that. So the way Rashi explains this, he's going to reject it, and then you say to him, oh, okay, I understand. You don't want to take it as a matana? No, so take it as a halva. But you should at least open up by saying that it's a matana so the guy understands where it's coming from. Okay, that's talking about where he doesn't have. Let's say he has a guy who has money, but he doesn't want to use his money. So then, we did just the opposite. We say, sure, no problem, you can take it. And then we turn around and we take it back from him because he doesn't really need it. He has the money. So the Gemara says, if a day later you're going to come back to him and say, okay, now I want you to pay, so then it's, so then he's not going to take the money and you're not accomplishing what you're trying to accomplish. So what it means is that ultimately this guy really does owe it to you. So you could give it to him. He's gonna take, fine. And then you're gonna find out that he has money in his bank account. You'll be able to take the money back from his bank account.
I'm not sure
you
do that because he gave it to
him. Rav Shimon Oimer. Again, since saying this same concept, if he has money but he doesn't want to take anyway, so he's starving. Saying his kakam, that's not our problem. I don't have to deal with it. You don't want to eat, you don't want to eat. So you have money, so deal with it. Ain loy vein roitz el esparnes, but what about if he doesn't have, but he doesn't want to take from tzedakah either? Aimrim loy, so what we do is like this. We say to him, havei mashkin v'tol, bring us collateral. Bring us something. So the guy should realize, like, oh, okay, this is a legitimate business deal. Business deal I can handle. And then, of course, you don't have to hold the collateral against him. If he doesn't have anything, so then he doesn't have anything. But at least this way, you're going to get him in the door to be able to take care of what he needs, his needs. The pasuk says that you need this is talking about that he doesn't have anything and he doesn't want to take. Like we said before, we offer it to him as a loan. And then we say, you know, we keep it. Tabitenu. Next part of the pasuk is Tabitenu. This is the opposite. This is somebody who does have, but he also doesn't want to take from Panosa, but he's not taking care of himself. So there, we do give it to him as a matana because we have to take care of him. The chosim in the front of him, la'achamiso, and then we'll collect because he has the money, so we have a right to go back and collect. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The chachamim amrim yesh lo ve'en roitz l'esparnes. He says if he has money, just and he doesn't want to take and he doesn't want to spend his own money. Ain iskakon loy. Once again, this is the same sheet that we had before. It's like, listen, he has a problem. We don't have to take care of people who are able to take care of themselves and just decide not to. Ve'alamani mekayim tabitenu. So then, what's the second part of the pasuk that we're helping him out? The main thing, really, what we're talking about, Habit is really talking about for the people who need it. And Tabitenu, okay, we just say Habit Tabitenu, whatever, when you need to take care of somebody, take care of somebody. It's not a different category of person. There was a poor person in his neighborhood, the Habi Rogu, Koyoim, the Shadilai Arba Zuza Bitsinuro, the Dasha. That Mar Ukva used to put money in his door, in the hinge of his door, every day so that he would have, secretly. Yoimechad Omar. So one day the poor person said, "Ezel echzi manka avid bi hahu tivusa." I'm going to go look. I'm going to figure out who's doing this favor for me, putting money, giving me money every day. Hahu yoimo no gale lamar ukva lebe medrasha. So that day, Rav Ukva was late to the base medrash. Asya devisa bahade. So his wife decided to come with him. Given the chazua, the kamatzli le ledasha, since they saw that he's watching, he's guarding the door. The matzli ledasha means that they were turning, they were leaning towards the door to put the money in. Nafik basra, so he started chasing after them. Rod mikamei, so they ran away from him. Ailu lahu asuna, they ran into this oven. The have grufa nura, that was covered over from flames, so there was simmering fire on the bottom of the oven. Have kam niklai and kare demar ukva, so mar ukva's feet were starting to burn. Amro le devisu, so his wife said, shukol karech oisiva karoi. So he said, take your feet and put them on my feet. My feet aren't burning. Cholish daite, so Mar Ukva felt bad that why was she zoicha to a bigger, to that her feet weren't getting hurt. She said, I am, the way Rashi learns is, I am home more frequently, so I'm able to give tzedakah more often. And also because I'm home, I'm able to give them food, not just money that they then have to take and go buy something else. I'm able to give them food immediately, so my level of tzedakah is a higher level of tzedakah, and that's why this fire is not going to burn me. So why did Mar Ukva decide to run away? The guy wanted to know who he was. Amar Mar Sutra Bar Tovia Amar Rav, in the name of Rav, Amila Amar Rav Huna Bar Bizna Amar Rav Shimon Chasida Amila Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Ben Yochai. All these people used to say this. Noach Lo Lo Odom Shiim Sar Asma Lo Toichiv Shana Eish. It's better that a person should burn in a fire. Val Yalbin Pnei Chaver Berabim. You don't want to embarrass somebody. Minolon. And how do we know this concept? Mi Tamar, from the story of Tamar Dechsiv He Mutzas, that she was about to be burned, and she didn't want to tell Yehuda that, by the way, it's your fault. Instead, she just let Yehuda come to the conclusion on his own. So we see that even though it was going to cost her, it could theoretically have cost her life and get burned, she was willing to take, she wasn't going to do anything to embarrass Yehuda. The same thing over here, Marukva also didn't want this person to be embarrassed. Marukva Have Ania, again, another story with Marukva Have Ania Bishvuse. There was another poor person, Have Ruglish Durele, Arba Mea Zuze, Komala Yomi Tikiburi. He would send her 400 zoos every Arab Yom Kippur. Yom Echad, one day, Shadrina Nehile Biyad Berei. So instead of him bringing the money himself, he decided to send his son to bring the money. Also, he came, Amar Leit, Loit Sarach, the son came back with the money and said, no, this guy really doesn't need your money. Amar Mai Chazis. So Marukva said to his son, what did you see? How do you know? So he says, Chazoi deka mezal file yayin yashin. I saw that they're pouring expensive wine. Expensive wine. So obviously he doesn't need your donations. Omar, so Marukva said, Mefanki kule hai. I didn't realize that he is such a high level. I finu, he doubled it, v'shadrinu nehile, and he sent it back to him. Okay, so you say, I guess I'm not giving him enough. He didn't take that as, oh, he doesn't need my money. He took it as, oh, the guy has a higher standard, so I have to keep to the higher standard. Kikanicha nafshei. Omar, so when he was about to die, Omar, Aisile cheshbainoi de tzedakah. He says, bring me my ledger that I keep track of my different tzedakahs. Ashkach to have iksid be shivas alfe dinra sinki. That he had 7,000 dinarim of sinki, the name of that country. So he gave him a lot of money. Omar zavdoi kalili v'orcha rechika. He said, my pouch is small and my derech is long. In other words, he was saying, even that wasn't enough for what I have to take to Olam Haba. Come bizbizei lepalgei mamainah. So then he decided, okay, I have to give away more tzedakah. So he gave away half of his money to tzedakah. Fine, because he wanted to give enough tzedakah. So the Gemara says, "Hey, Yavid Hochi, how is he allowed to give away so much?" They decided, even if you want to spend your money on tzedakah, you can't give away more than a fifth. So the Gemara answers, "Hani mili mechaim, when he's alive, because he'll maybe shema yeirid minachosim, because maybe he'll lose money and he'll need it for himself, and now he's going to become the tircha of the tzibur. But once he's not going to need the money for himself anymore, so then he can give away the money up to half." Well, a couple more lines and then we'll stop. Rav Abba Havitzayir Zuze Besudre. He would put money into a handkerchief. V'shadi Le Achure, and he would put it behind it. Umamtzi Nafshi Lebe Anya, and he would make himself available in the neighborhood where the poor people were. Umasle Eina Miramoy. But he would look a little bit behind his shoulders to make sure that it wasn't the wrong people taking the money. He wanted to make sure that the right people were getting the money. So the Mefarshim explain over here that either he's looking or he's not looking. Right? He put it behind him so that he's not looking, so that Anim can take without. Okay, I have to stop the shiur right now, and we'll pick up over here tomorrow.